Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Can everyone please turn to Matthew chapter 6 with me? If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 938. If you would follow along with me. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what it is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what it is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is it not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you little of faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pat DeCosta, and I'm an elder. And as is customary here at Living Christ Church, we pray over the pastor as he delivers this message. What I will ask you to do is put your hands up like this and bow your heads. The first part is going to be directed to you, and the second part is going to be corporately directed to Pastor. Word of Ezekiel says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Father God, in this place, in this time, I pray against any heart of stone. I pray that to be replaced by a heart of flesh, Lord, that is sensitive to your spirit, that is willful to your direction, Father God. I pray for those in here that do not have a sense of your spirit to be refreshed at this time and this place. For those who feel trickles of your spirit, I pray for waves upon waves to be flushed upon them, Lord, so that they are overwhelmed to such a degree that they just do your work in such a perfect will. Lord, we pray for Jeff right now. We pray for a double portion of your spirit to be upon him as he delivers this message, Father God. We pray that he receives your good favor, Lord, as he's prepared for it. Pray strength, clarity, and for this congregation to be willful to receive the message with open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lily, thank you so much for reading that passage of scripture for us this morning. So we are in we're in this series called Stuffing of the Heart. And last week we talked about getting unstuffed. And this week we're talking about the right stuff. And last week I kind of shared with you all the stuff that seems to pile up. And maybe you didn't quite fully understand this, but we kind of left you hanging on purpose to analyze your stuff. We have a lot of it. We talked about it last week. We have all kinds of different things that we invest our time, our money, and our efforts in. Some of it is in physical things. Some of it is in our time things. Some of it is in our money things. So much so that our houses are full of stuff. They're overflowing, and we have storage units for our stuff. I had people come up to me afterwards last week and say, I got to go clean out my storage unit. I got stuff in there. I need help. And stuff in and of itself is not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily bad. So last week in the connection groups that meet, most of them on Sunday nights, a lot of people talked about their stuff. And they said, was this stuff bad? And hopefully a lot of those answers weren't answered. Because it's important for us to analyze them through a lens, and that lens in my mind is Jesus. So in order to understand what the right stuff is, it has to go through this lens, and his name is Jesus. As I looked at everything that took place this last week in the news and in the election, my heart was really, really heavy. I have friends that are in fear and tears at the outcome. And I had friends that were gloating about the outcome. This shouldn't be, especially in light of the church. And when the church and those who follow Jesus get hijacked and the focus gets shifted, Jesus is no longer seen. And so I think it's very important this morning that we need to shift our focus back to Jesus so he can be seen. And then the stuff that we do have becomes important to him and the people that we interact with. And we see that fleshed out in this passage Matthew chapter 6. So first off the bat, in order to have the right stuff, this is what we notice this in verse 4. So that your giving may be done in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We talked about this last week, that God desires to reward you, but it can't be about you. So really, the shift that takes place to get us off focused is this thing called selfishness. And so when selfishness comes into play, or me gets in the way, then I no longer see the things of Jesus, and I no longer act, become, interact, and do, and be the things that Jesus wants me to be. He desires to reward you. And more often than not, that reward is not a physical reward. Three times throughout this passage that was just read for you, we see this word. Let's skip along. Hypocrites. Three times this is mentioned, hypocrites. It's mentioned in this section on giving. It's mentioned in the section on I gave myself too many of these. It's mentioned in the section on giving. It's mentioned in the section on prayer. And it's mentioned in the section on fasting. And really, in order to understand this, we need to know that the original intent of this word was used as an actor. An actor was a hypocrite, someone who got up on the stage and played somebody else. And then, during the first century, this became associated with people who were fakers, who said something but did the other, who played a part in front of people, but their heart or what the things about them were different. And so when we go into these next three categories, if we do it from a consensus of me, my focus, and getting other people to see all the good in me that may not be there, then we've got things off kilter. If the focus is about how great I am, then we lose the sight of how great Jesus is. If it's all about Jeff, a lot of things get lost. But we've given ourselves lots of opportunities to talk about self. All you have to do is go online or social media, and most of it is about self. Look at me. Look how great I am. Look how bad you are. I can't believe how stupid you are. What is wrong with you? And I have my mom ringing in my head because I'm doing this. Whenever you point at other people's problems, there's three more pointing back at you. So in order to have your focus on the right things, it cannot be about me. It can't. It's got to be about Christ and what he desires. And then through that lens, we'll see others and what God desires for us to see in others. We don't give to be known. I'll get to Frank Sinatra in a second. That showed up wrong. We don't give things to be noticed, but we do. How many times have you watched a show where a celebrity comes on and they have one of those big checks and they're giving $1 million to this organization? Now, I don't know the full heart attitude that goes behind that, but oftentimes we make things big in order to be seen. And so the focus becomes on the money and not what the need is. I don't know if you've ever looked at this guy, Frank Sinatra, and he's got problems. Really, you're going to talk about Frank Sinatra? Do you know how many women he was with? Yes, I know all that. But the little secret about Frank Sinatra that came true after he died was he was one of the greatest givers this world has ever seen. Some of the estimates are that he gave away up to $1 billion of his wealth before he died. There's stories that have come out where he used to sit and read the newspaper and look for people in need and then tell his secretary, I want you to send a check to them, but they cannot know it was me. There's other stories that he would walk around with $1,000 in his pocket looking for somebody on the street panhandling, and he would walk up and he would hand them the money and he would say, my one request when I give you this money is that you can't tell anybody that you got it from me. I don't want anybody to know that it came from me, because the point is you. And man, this guy had a lot of screwed up stuff in his life, but he understood this thing called giving. When your heart attitude is in line with Christ, you give to what Christ wants you to give to. When the focus is on your giving, it ceases to be about Christ and it ceases to be about the person. And we have this section called prayer. And Jesus tells the people listening, don't go stand on the street corners so people can hear you. The point is not about you. The point is about me. It's about me. So who cares how amazing your prayers are? Who cares how many great words you have that you can spew out so others can hear them? That is not the point. The point is about me and people understanding and knowing me, not you. And don't go on babbling like the pagans who think they're heard by their many words. Literally, the word means blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Whenever I pray for a meal, oftentimes people laugh. They go, wow, that was the shortest prayer for a meal I've ever heard from a pastor. The point is not how good the prayer is. The point is who I'm praying to. So when I say, Jesus, thank you for this food, nothing else needs to be said. Why? Because he is the provider of the food. I don't need to pray for Aunt Jemima's coat and my grandmother's broken foot. That is not the point. The point is the gift giver. And when the gift giver gets lost in the prayer, it ceases to be a gift. So don't go on babbling. Don't stand out and say all these nice flowery words so people can think you're great. It's not about you. It's about me. So when you pray, go into the secret place. The word here is storeroom, where your treasures are. And when you sit there in the room with your treasures and you're praying to the treasure giver, the things you treasure become the things he treasures. An alignment shift takes place. So it no longer becomes about the stuff you treasure, it becomes about the stuff he does. So go get alone so people can't hear what you're saying and focus on me, because I want to give you treasure. It just may not look the way you want it to look. My favorite prayers are people that just come to know Jesus for the first time, because they're the most flowery, awesome prayers known to man. And oftentimes, there's some vernacular that sit in those prayers that we think shouldn't be said in church or with Christian people. Because those are the words they know. I sat with a man who had just come to know Jesus, and he used the F word in his prayer. What? Because he was blown away. The fact that there was a God who cared about him. He said, Lord, I'm so in love with you. The heart attitude of that man was not the word, it was the heart. And when we mess it up and we focus on the word instead of the heart, things get lost. So then he says, if you want to pray publicly, saying you can't, this is how it has to look like. Our Father. I'm mine. Give me. It's our. So when you get together publicly to pray, it's not about Jeff's needs. It's about our needs. Our Father who art in heaven. Ours. Praise your name. Praise you, God. If it doesn't start with praising God, it jumps right to your needs. We've kind of messed things up a little bit. Praise God. You're awesome. I love you. You're great. Whatever you need to say. Your will be done, not mine. If we jump right to my will, this is what I need. This is what I want, Lord. We've messed things up just a little bit. Praise you, God. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Then, once we've done those things, then bring up your need. And guess what? He already knows what your need is. So you don't need to go on babbling. Or give flowery words. He knows the need. So share the need with him. And then forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. After what? After I've already forgiven my brother. Sometimes we want to ask God for forgiveness when we're screaming and yelling at our neighbor over social media. Man, that is messed up and backwards. And then this, protection from the evil one and evil things. I don't think we pray this one enough in Christendom. Because we jump into evil things. And I'm not talking about the big things. If the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and your soul. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And we're not loving our neighbor, then we've walked into something evil. Amen. And we need to say, Lord Jesus, protect me from walking into the things that are evil. Because my neighbor is in need of you. So don't act like the hypocrites. Don't stand up there and make it all about you. Make it about Jesus. And this is a way to pray. And then fasting. There's all kinds of spiritual disciplines, and maybe at some point we'll do a series on spiritual disciplines. But fasting is one that I need to do more often than not. I love food. I do. But when you fast, it's not about sympathy. I have to confess to you that I've gone into fasting purposely hoping to lose weight. Just being honest. Oh, you're fasting. Yeah. And my purpose wasn't necessarily to get more in touch with Jesus. My focus was to shed some pounds. When you fast, it is about Jesus. Whenever you do any spiritual discipline, it is about Jesus. You're not abstaining from something for yourself. You're abstaining from something to replace it with Jesus. I've said this before. Sometimes when you think you are hungry, you don't really need food. Your soul needs Jesus. I don't know how many times I've sat in my bed at night watching TV going, wow, I'm really hungry. I didn't need food. We're America. We got way too much of it. We throw it out. I don't need more food. I need Jesus. So don't disfigure yourself to draw attention to yourself and to tell everybody you're fasting. We do corporate fast here. The elders are going to do a fast after Thanksgiving to get ourselves in alignment with what Christ is calling us to. But when it becomes about the appearance, we miss sight and we lose the purpose and the focus, which is Jesus. So then we have this section on treasure. Our stuff. The stuff that we treasure, whether it's money or things or people, whatever it is, that treasure has to be focused through a filter, which is Jesus. What is our motive? What is the motive of our treasure? If your motive in your treasure is about others and Jesus, chances are your motives are good. Last week in our connection group, we were talking about this, about our stuff. And somebody in the group said, we spend a lot of money on travel. We budget a lot of money on travel. And there might be somebody who would look at that and say, wow, you know, that's a waste of money. You know, you could give to this and you could give to that. But their travel expenditure was about family. They budgeted a certain amount of money so they could travel as a family. What's the heart attitude behind that? Not the travel in and of itself. The heart attitude was family. Outside of self. So what the motive is tells us really where our treasure is. So tell me about your stuff, and I'll ask you, what's the motive behind your stuff? If the motive behind your stuff has to do with Jesus, chances are your stuff is okay. But if the motive behind your stuff is about you and your needs and your desires, chances are it's probably not the right motive. Our eyes, this passage says, dictate the soul. If your eyes are good, if you're focusing on the things that Jesus wants you to focus on, then the outcome normally is good. But if your eyes are focused on what is bad and what you desire about you, for you, then chances are it's incorrect. I'm a Gen Xer, okay? So I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I didn't get a trophy for every soccer team that I played for in my life. It didn't happen. We didn't have, my son is an honor student of Van Wyck Middle School. We didn't get that stuff. Now, I didn't make honor roll, but that's a whole other story. I got 4 trophies in my life. 3 of them were for soccer, and one of them was for memorizing scripture. But the most important one that I ever got for soccer was the John L. Menapace Award for Team Spirit and Moral Character. I got this my senior year of high school. I played soccer my entire life. And my senior year, I pulled my hamstring, and I couldn't play for like 3 to 4 weeks. My brother, who was a freshman in high school, made the varsity squad, and when I went down, he got my spot. And when I came back from physical therapy, the coach did not put me in. I sat the bench and watched my younger brother become a star. And the coach came to me after that game, sat down next to me on the bus, and he said, Jeff, listen, I know you're upset, I know you're mad, but I have to think to the future. You're going to graduate, and I've got this kid who's really, really good. I understand he's your brother, but he's really, really good. I have to invest in him. So this is what I need, because he was one of the elders of our church. He did not pull the God card. He didn't. But he said, Jeff, you have an opportunity. You do. You have an opportunity for people to see something different in you. And he went back, and he sat down. And I thought, I'm going to kill this man. I'm in high school. That's what we think. And I went out the next game, and I watched my younger brother go out there and become a star. And I became the best cheerleader that team ever had. And anytime a kid came off the field, I was high-fiving them. I became the glorified water boy. And this really interesting thing happens. They watched this senior who was good. I was good. I wasn't bad. I was good. They watched me sit on that bench and become somebody that they hadn't seen. And at the end of the season, the captains and all the team got together and gave me this award. Not the coach. The team did. 2 years into college, my parents' pipes burst and flooded the garage and the basement, and that award was destroyed. I was livid. I don't have a room full of trophies. I've got four, and they're all gone. This is the point. The treasure is not the physical reward. It's the eternal one. Do you think any of those team members remember that I got that trophy? No. They remembered how I acted on and off the field. That is the treasure. If the treasure becomes about the reward on earth, we've got things wrong. The focus is off. The treasure happens in your heart. And when your heart treasures the things of God, the world receives a treasure that is not physical. It's not the one they want. It's the one they need. And then, very fittingly, he ends with this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. And then the verse 32, your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. This week, there was a whole lot of worry going on in the world. In America, there was a whole lot of worry. And I thought, man, O'Day, we're so American-focused right now. We're flipping out over an elected official when there's 1 billion people in the world who will wake up today and not know what they're going to eat. If we paid less attention on self and more attention on others, this gets accomplished through the hands and feet of Jesus. When the church responds as the hands and feet of Jesus, the world doesn't have to worry anymore because we're acting out what our Father wants us to act out. But normally, when we're talking about giving and these kind of things, and we get to this thing called worry, immediately we go to one of the statistics that I read last week that is more than half the country is in debt. More than half of us are in debt. We could do a whole series on debt, and we've done classes on how to get out of it. And if you need that kind of information, come and talk to me. I will redirect you to people in this church that will help you through it. Because it's almost impossible not to worry when that's your focus. When we moved, our family moved to this church, we had just been out of debt and we'd given ourselves a certain amount of budget. And there's always these things that you don't expect when you do a move. And very quickly, the stuff that we had budgeted kind of disappeared. But then my wife and I heard about a need from a friend of ours, and then they had just lost their job. And both of us separately, without talking to each other, felt like God was asking us to give to this couple. When we weren't sure if we had what we needed to cover the expenses that we had. But God said to me and to my wife, I want you to give to this need. And so I said, hey, Annette, I think we're supposed to give to them. What do you think we're supposed to give? And we said the exact same number. Okay, we're supposed to do this then. And so we wrote a check, honestly not knowing where that money was going to come from. And we released it back to the Lord. The next day, as God is my witness, we got a check in the mail for the exact amount. God, not Jeff, not Annette, God. He knows your needs. He wants to supply your needs. But when worry is in the frame of reference, then we can't see him. All we see is the worry. The worry has to be pushed aside so that we can see the things of Christ. And it only gets pushed aside if our focus is on him. It only gets pushed aside if our focus is on him. If our focus is on worry, what are we going to do? We're going to worry. If we focus on Jesus, the worry has no it does no longer have any grounds in us. Because the eyes of our soul are focused on what they were meant to be focused on. And then we have this verse, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. That word righteousness in Greek means as they ought to be. As things ought to be. So when you're seeking first the kingdom of God, and as things ought to be, all these things will be given to you as well. When your focus is on Jesus, you will have everything that you need. And probably some of the things that you want. But you'll have what you'll need. And things will be as they ought to be. As God originally intended. So to respond today, I think we have to sit in some of this. Last week I made you sit in your stuff. This week I want you to sit in Jesus. What is the desire of your heart? Let's frame this. What needs to be reframed in your heart? What needs to be reframed about your stuff? What needs to be reframed? And if Christ was the center, what would that look like? I don't want to give you an outcome because that's between you and the Lord. What would it look like if Christ was the center? The worship team's going to come back up. We're going to close out. I want us to kind of sit and soak in this a little bit. Maybe you need to do what we did last week, where you need to pray some prayers of getting yourself centered. The prayer people are going to be up after the service for you to come up and pray with them. Maybe you need to carve out some time this week to sit and be present and go over all the things in your life to see which are centered on Christ and which aren't. So that things can come into alignment with what he desires, so that the things of him become more important, not your own. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, right now, I pray that the eyes of our heart would be opened, so that we would be able to hear the things that you desire for us to hear. That we would see the things that you desire for us to see. That we would let go of the things that you want us to let go of. That we would receive the things you want us to. We tell the enemy you have no place, no authority, no action step in the lives of anyone sitting in here this morning. Instead, Holy Spirit, bring your truth, not ours. Your truth, Holy Spirit, to everyone here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Would you say?